Word from the Window series, and we end it with the Nicodemus window. Now, you may be saying, we don't have a Nicodemus window. Hold that thought for a moment. So, it is the final Sunday of Word from the Window, and I have so enjoyed this series. It's been an extended series because we have a lot of windows, but I've loved the stories, looking at the art, and digging into the scripture that has inspired each of the windows. I know that I will not look at any of them the same. And I hope this sermon series has been a blessing to you as well. So today we're going back to the rich young ruler window. We originally looked at this window on February 25th, and I shared with you then that it was given in memory of Charles C. Berry Ward by his wife and inspired by Luke 18, 18 through 22. The story of the rich young ruler, if you remember, is one where the rich young ruler went to Jesus and wanted to know what he must do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus gave him a list of the commands, and the ruler could say, yes, I've held on to these commands since I was young. And then Jesus adds another. Sell all you have and follow me. And the rich young ruler leaves sad because he realizes he loves his possessions and cannot do that. So Jesus comments that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone rich to enter the kingdom of God. And the people gathered around say, well, then who can be saved? And to this Jesus says, what is impossible for man is possible with God. The story of the rich young ruler reminds us that it is not our earning and our achievement that gets us salvation or earns our way into heaven. Rather, it is a gift from God. Our salvation is a gift from God for us to receive. So that is the story and the inspiration behind the rich young ruler window. But when I first entered this sanctuary, probably 25 years ago, for the first time for a Hardened Scholar Sunday, I looked at that window and said, ah, the Nicodemus window. Now, at the time, I did not think about Nicodemus would have been in priestly garb with a beard. That didn't occur to me. But I have some other reasons why I think that window, I can make a case for Nicodemus. First of all, he's alone with Jesus. And wasn't a crowd primarily around Jesus when he was teaching people and talking to people. Also, if you look at that window, it's a dark blue glass. To me, that looks like night. So I naturally thought Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. That has to be night. And then you've got to admit, this window is quite prominent in the sanctuary. Shouldn't a prominent window have a prominent scripture like John 3:16, for God so loved the world? When you're thinking about stories of Jesus, I'm sure the rich young ruler does not even make your top 10 favorite stories of Jesus. So I naturally thought this is Nicodemus. Now, realizing that it is the rich young ruler and based on another passage of scripture, I invite you just to imagine and think if John 3 inspired the window. If you have your Bibles, turn to the Gospel of John, the third chapter, starting at verse 1. John 3, beginning at verse 1. Hear the good news. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, How can anyone be born after they've grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered, Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up a serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come into the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we look to your word and this beautiful piece of art, I pray that the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing and acceptable unto you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Many of you don't know a lot about Nicodemus. Thanks to the popular show The Chosen, people know a little bit more. We don't have much from Scripture about Nicodemus. We have the Scripture that I just read, John 7 and John 19. And of course, the beloved, well-known verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Nicodemus was a Pharisee. A Pharisee was a Jew who was a part of a powerful religious sect. Pharisee literally means to be set apart, and the Pharisees set themselves apart in the law. They were so focused on the law and wanting to keep the law, they kept themselves separate from common Jews, common folks, so that they might be considered holy and clean, pure keepers of the law. When Jesus came along, they saw him as a heretic. He was preaching a message other than what they were trying to convey in the law. And as he gained more power, they saw Jesus as a threat to their power and their standing in society. The scripture reading that I just shared recounts Nicodemus going to Jesus one night. We also know from John 7 that Nicodemus defended Jesus when the Pharisees were upset with him. He said that if one was to be tried, there must be testimony against him for an investigation. We also know that Nicodemus was present after Jesus' crucifixion, and he assisted Joseph of Arimathea in preparation for the body when Jesus was laid in the tomb. We know that Nicodemus, by these scriptures, changed from the course of that questioning, that Jesus had an impact on his life. One of the important details of this scripture is that Nicodemus sought Jesus by night. Now, scholars will give you different reasons why Nicodemus came by night. Some would say that Nicodemus came there because he was curious. He came at a time when there would not be a crowd around or disruption around, so he could learn more from Jesus. In verse 2, Nicodemus says, "We." Now, he could be curious for his own sake, or he could have been representing the Pharisees, wanting to learn more about Christ. Scholars also might say that Jesus received Nicodemus at night. Nicodemus came because he had sinister intentions. The dark in the Gospel of John represents evil and deceit, and light and day represent goodness. So the night may have been representing evil intentions by Nicodemus when he went to Jesus. And that may be why Jesus said the things he said that we saw at the end of the scripture reading about light and darkness. Even if that is the case, we know that Nicodemus was changed by this exchange. We don't know the extent of his story, but we know that he did defend Jesus. And we know that he took care of Jesus' body after the crucifixion. There's another reason that Nicodemus may have come by night, and I've never read this in a commentary, but it's one that I like to believe. Perhaps Nicodemus came by night because he just couldn't wait. Maybe he was so curious, so excited to question Jesus and learn more that he had to go to Jesus immediately. Like a child on Christmas Eve, he couldn't wait for daylight, but he had to go and see for himself. Whatever the case, Nicodemus sought Jesus. He sought, he asked, he came to him. So he came to Jesus, and the conversation begins with him complimenting Jesus, acknowledging that his power and the miracles have to be from God. And then the dialogue begins. Being born of the Spirit, living in the Spirit, being born again. Nicodemus is completely confused because how can one be born again if they've been born out of the womb? And Jesus says this is a different type of birth. It is the birth of being born of the Holy Spirit. And then we get into the beloved passage of John 3:16. The dialogue continues with Jesus telling him that the Son of Man came not to condemn the world, but that to save the world and people might have life in him. And then the passage ends with this discussion about light and darkness, about judgment and light coming into the world. At the end of the dialogue, Jesus and his disciples leave and go into the Judean countryside. Scripture gives evidence that this exchange had a lasting impact on Nicodemus. As I said earlier, he would be changed to defend Jesus among the Pharisees and changed to take care of Jesus' body after his death. We don't know what happened to him from there. His story ends with John 19. Did he become a believer, a follower, a Jew who believed in Christ? Did he become an evangelist, a worker for the word? That we do not know, but we know that this exchange with Jesus had a lasting impact upon him. Seeking Jesus changed Nicodemus. He heard a message of being born again. He heard a message of God's love being so great that he sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but so the world might be saved through him. Nicodemus received a message of love and hope and peace. Not that God's Son came to judge and condemn, but so that God's Son might give life and hope and love. Seeking Jesus can have a lasting impact on your life too. Jesus continues to offer a message of light, hope, and love. Jesus invites us all to be born anew, reminding us that God so loves you that he sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might have eternal life in him. Not coming to condemn us, but to save us, to free us for a better life. And that is the good news. Jesus loves you enough to change you, to challenge you, to equip you, to invite you, to empower you. Jesus wants a relationship with you, and Jesus invites you to seek him just like Nicodemus did thousands of years ago. Whether that seeking is born of questioning or speculation or curiosity, just like Nicodemus, you are invited to come to seek Jesus. Remember that Nicodemus was of a learned class. He was a Pharisee. He had been studying the law all his life. He had all the answers. He had studied with the best. He spent all his time learning about God and knowing God. And he had to be very wise and very smart. After all, he was a part of the Sanhedrin. He was at the top of his game and career. He had a lot of answers. When people sought answers about the law, They went to Nicodemus. But there was an openness to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was open enough to seek Jesus, to keep asking, to keep seeking, to go to Jesus, to learn more. And in his seeking and learning, he received the blessing of a message of love. He came to Jesus questioning, but received the answer that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is a reminder that seeking Jesus is not just for those that have all the answers, have the A+ pen for Bible study in Sunday school, or perfect attendance in church. Seeking Jesus is not just for those who are questioning or looking or searching and don't have a relationship. Seeking Jesus is for all of us. In fact, for myself, I've learned that the farther I get down this road, the more I need to seek him. The more I need to trust him and look for Christ, because I don't have it figured out. I need to keep seeking, keep searching, keep knocking. You know, I've shared with you several times that one of my favorite hymns is "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." And I love it because the chorus ends with these words, "Oh, for grace to trust you more." And that's kind of been a breath prayer for me. But as I was working on this sermon and studying this sermon, the phrase kept coming to mind, "Oh, for grace to seek you more." Oh, for grace to realize that I need to seek Jesus. And that sentiment echoes Jesus' teachings from Matthew 7. In the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew 7, Jesus teaches, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And everyone who knocks, the door will be opened." These teachings from Jesus remind us to keep seeking, to keep looking, to keep knocking, to keep asking. For Nicodemus, the seeking ultimately changed his life. And he left there a different person, a changed person, and a new message. He received that message of love and grace, which would lead him to a new relationship, a different relationship with Jesus. So when you enter this sanctuary and you gaze upon this window, you might see the rich young ruler. Or like me, you might see Nicodemus. Whatever you see, both men sought out Jesus with their questions. In a world where there are many paths of seeking and asking, I challenge you to seek Jesus. And in him, you will find love and hope and the change that Nicodemus found. You will find peace. And I know, without a doubt, that Jesus will welcome your seeking and your knocking, just like he did for Nicodemus and the rich young ruler. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we seek you. We love you. Give us grace to seek you more, to keep knocking and asking, and to pursue you with a deep love, so that we might know you in a deeper way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Yeah.
It is my joy to announce that Julie Gage united with our congregation by transfer of membership at the 9 o'clock service. If you happen to run into Julie or know Julie, welcome her with a warm First Methodist welcome. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, what are we going to do next? The Word for the Window series has ended. Well, you'll have to come back next Sunday.